Hi, Hosanna. Hey, did you get a chance to see the video that Joanne and I posted on the website? It's about this fictional guy named Doug who gets direct messages from God all day long as he goes about his life. It's rather humorous. You want to see it. And we like that it points out that most of us don't hear from God quite that way. How about you? Did you see a message from God on the mirror in your bathroom after your shower this morning? I didn't. But I do know that God does speak to his people. He speaks to you and he even speaks to me. Or let's put it this way. God nudges. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the way the Spirit nudges us. This message builds on what we've been teaching over the past several weeks about Pentecost and the life of the Spirit. In other words, if the Spirit did come on Pentecost, if the Spirit does live within all of us who are in Christ, if the Spirit is indeed prompting and provoking and prodding and those other things we talked about last week, well, how does the Spirit do that? How do we hear and discern what the Spirit is saying to us if it's not a note in our lunchbox? Well, there are two challenges right off the bat in trying to answer those questions. The first is that many Christians don't think that God speaks to them at all. We've heard that from some of you over the years, haven't we? And others of you may be thinking about it. Well, guess what? We've got good news for you today, because the Spirit is indeed nudging, perhaps in ways, however, that you and I haven't recognized as coming from the Spirit yet. The other challenge is that some Christians believe that God speaks to them, but what they think he says makes us scratch our heads a bit. There's a whole book of these stories, by the way, called God Made Me Do It. Did God tell a man to perform surgery on himself? Did he instruct a guy to TP a police station? Did he insist that a woman direct traffic topless? We could laugh at those examples, of course, but there are many stories in history of more serious things that people did because they said God told them to do it. And on what basis do we say that they're mistaken? So let's see if we can address those two challenges today and to give you some encouragement about how the Spirit does nor nudge ordinary folks like us to live the life of the Spirit in the real world.
So before we get into specifics, there are several general things that we want you to keep in mind as we move through the message. First is that the Spirit's nudges are real. Comedian Lily Tomlin once said, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic?" See, as Christians, we do have great compassion for those who struggle with mental illness, for those who sometimes hear voices which are not real. And yet, we Christians should be expecting to hear God's voice and to sense the nudges of the Spirit, because God is real and really communicates with us. The scriptures are full of passages assuring us that God not only spoke in days of old, but continues to speak to us today. And we find this happening in the scriptures throughout the book of Acts, for example, in the weeks and months and years after Pentecost. Sometimes the Spirit gave extraordinary messages, but most often it was the ordinary discernment of the Spirit's presence and direction that was given to those who were simply open and listening for him. Here are a few other examples of literally hundreds that we could offer you from the scriptures. Here's Jeremiah. He said, "Call to me," or God said to Jeremiah, "Call to me and I'll answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Isaiah, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" And of course, Jesus had so much to say about this. He said, My sheep listen to my voice." And he said in John 16, 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears." All of this is implying we have spiritual ears, and they were meant to be used to hear God. One final one from John 8, Jesus said, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God." Okay, the Spirit doesn't always communicate in ways we expect, yes. And yet God still does communicate today, and the Spirit's nudges are still quite real.
The second thing we want to know about the Spirit's nudges is that they're not just for the big stuff of life, but for ordinary life. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a story. When I was ordained years ago, I was interviewed by this impressive array of old men in suits. And one of the primary questions they wanted answered was whether or not I was called, how I was called to pastoral ministry. And they were hoping I had had some kind of big experience of some sort. Well, I did, sort of. When I was just a kid, I was 10 years old. I'm sitting in my church one Sunday morning listening to my pastor preach, and I had a nudge, the only word for it. Someday you're going to do that. It wasn't words, of course. That's the words I'm putting to it. It was more like a realization. And it wasn't for me. I wasn't thinking that. I doubt I was even paying attention to the sermon. But suddenly there it was, unbidden, unexpected. And here I am, 45 years later, doing what I was told that day that I would do someday. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Does the Spirit only speak to us then about big stuff like being called to be a pastor or who you ought to marry or what job you ought to take or career to pursue? Well, you already know the answer, don't you? It's awesome if God gives us clear direction on big stuff like that. Sometimes he does, but by far the Spirit's nudges are for ordinary life. Like the stuff in the video. Stuff like, yes, call your sister. Be kind to your boss today. Read that book. Stop and talk to that homeless man. It's the stuff of ordinary life that the Spirit majors in. And why? Well, this is important because the Spirit is not an occasional visitor to your life, showing up off a grand entrance every once in a while. The Spirit is in you, always with you, going through ordinary life with you. And so the nudges are just part of that relationship. Mm-hmm. And this gets even better, because if by far most of the Spirit's nudges are for ordinary life, then it's also true that most of the Spirit's nudges feel rather ordinary too. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible has some of these wonderfully dramatic stories of visits from angels and visions in the middle of the night and that sort of thing. And they were real. They happened. Stuff like that still happens. But those stories were written down because they were rare and extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to have one of those dramatic revelations from God, awesome. But let's not miss all the ordinary nudges while waiting and hoping for something big to happen.
Right.
My experience of being called to be a pastor was a big deal for my life and one that was confirmed in a number of ways over the coming years. But it came to me as a little nudge. Like I said, a realization, that's all. There were no trumpets blaring. There was no angel in white, no loud voice. I didn't get kicked off my seat. It was just the knowing. And that was enough. Mm-hmm. 45 years later, it's still enough.
Yep.
The same, by the way, is true in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, there are stories of the Spirit showing up dramatically for the disciples, Pentecost, and the days afterwards. But over time, it seems they have fewer of those dramatic experiences and more of just knowing. Yeah. They would say things like in Acts 15, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And it seemed like they understood that without experiencing earth, wind, and fire. How did they know it was good to the Holy Spirit? Because they had learned by then to trust the nudge of the indwelling Spirit. And that's why that's our focus today. Not the big dramatic things that do occasionally happen, but to encourage you to notice the Spirit in the midst of your ordinary life.
Yeah, so the Spirit's nudges are ordinary. And yet, third, they do sometimes have a different quality to them. In other words, there is something that you recognize as more than just you. More of a, most of us have a to-do lists in our heads. I know I have to write it on paper now because it's actually too much for me to remember in my head, but that we have this to-do list in our heads and we just keep checking off items throughout the day. But we've all had an experience when one of those items on that list suddenly takes on more importance than the rest. It's like the print just suddenly becomes larger on that one item. Or you know those moments where someone's face suddenly appears in our mind's eye. and just draws our attention away from the to-do list completely. Very often, that bit of urgency, that bit of a different quality, is the Spirit nudging us to go ahead and rearrange our schedule to take care of that particular item on the list now and not to wait. Or maybe to stop and to pray for that person that we're seeing in our mind's eye, or maybe even call to see if they're okay. This happened this morning. I remembered this morning that sometime last fall or winter, I kept sensing this nudge for Hosanna to get ready to live stream services. The first few times the nudge came, I pushed it away because this was very unusual. I have never wanted to live stream services, ever.
Never, no.
Whenever Tony or anyone else brought it up in the past, I pushed hard against the idea. So I thought, where is that coming from? And I just ignored it. But it just kept coming. And it wouldn't let me go. So I went ahead and I went up to the sound booth one day and I talked with Jeff about it. And I asked him, you know, what might it take for us to get things in place to live stream services at some point? And I remembered it this morning and I'm smiling now because this was way before we had any idea coronavirus was even on the horizon. And I did not recognize until just this morning that was the Spirit gently nudging us to begin getting ready. Jeff and the team, they did some good thinking about equipment and live streaming then, and that's actually helped us in recent days as we're getting ready to reopen our building for services sometime fairly soon. It's a good example, though, because you know, I think we get this idea that we're supposed to be perfect at this and pick up the nudges, you know, just as they're happening all the time. Otherwise, we're going to miss something and God's going to be angry at us. I think that's a good example because God's not angry that we didn't get everything in place for live streaming back then. But we started thinking and looking at it back then. We're doing it now. It was preparation. See, this morning, it was so reassuring to me to see that the Spirit knew back then what was coming and was not only nudging our tech ministry to start some researching, but was also nudging me to lower my resistance to the idea so I'd actually be willing and ready to do some live streaming now. So yeah, the Spirit's nudges are ordinary and part of our ordinary Christian life. And very often they come with a sense of something more, that stirring in the soul, a sense of an inner yes, a thought or an emotion or an indescribable sense that you know that this is something more than just me.
More than just me, mm-hmm. but unique to me.
Yes.
The Spirit's nudges are unique to each one of us. Now, there's some common ways that the Spirit speaks to all of us as human beings, but our theme this year, which we haven't forgotten, is honor everyone, and the Spirit honors everyone. Yes. The Spirit honors your unique personality, your unique way of doing life. The Spirit speaks your language. God created each one of us for a unique relationship with Him, which only we can share, just like each one of us has unique relationships with the people in our lives. Now, if you have children, more than one, even if you love them equally, you're going to relate differently to them, right? That's a way of honoring them. So we become students of each person in our life, for each of our children. We not treat them all as if they're identical. And it goes to say then that if we want to notice the Spirit's nudges for each of us, we need to become students of ourselves as well. And by the way, you see this pattern in Scripture. Moses sees a burning bush. Mary gets a visit from an angel. Paul sees a light and hears a voice. The Spirit has no one right way of communicating with us.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't insist that He show up for me the same way He shows up for Joanne. Too much woo-woo there anyway. No, see, I'll miss something for me if I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I can trust that the Spirit knows me better than I even know myself and knows how to nudge me in ways that are unique to me. So I this is the way I've concluded here. Someday, maybe someday, just because of who I am going to get a message from God written on my pizza toppings.
Yeah. I love that picture. And Tony, I hope you do one day get a pizza like that from God, delivered by an angel, of course.
Of course.
The fifth thing to keep in mind actually builds on that as well. If Tony ever does get a pizza from God that says, I love you, it will be because the Spirit's nudges are rooted in relationship. We say at Hosanna that we were made for relationship because we were created in the likeness and image of a relational God. See, God knows us inside and out. But how often are we really considering that God also wants to be known like that by us? How can so many Christians talk about having a personal relationship with God in Christ and yet think that knowing things about God is the same as knowing God? They are not the same thing. I know a lot. Can we capitalize? Lot. I know a lot about Henry VIII and his wives. But I never knew or had a real relationship with any one of them. I do have a real relationship with my dear friend Deb, though. And if somebody were to walk up to me and tell me that Deb had a craving for chocolate and wanted me to bring her some, I would know immediately that that person was lying. Because I know Deb, and Deb hates chocolate. God wants us to know him like that, what he likes and dislikes, so that if someone says something or the Spirit nudges, we know that we know, because we know God, whether it's actually him or coming from him or not. Most of us would be satisfied, I think, if God would just tell us what to do and then we can get on with things. But God wants us to know who he is, not just to go and do things for him. We would settle for facts and answers. But God wants a personal relationship with us that is full of intimacy and conversation, two-way, mutual, going both ways. And yes, Deb, I think God wants a personal relationship with us that is also full of chocolate.
Some year for Halloween, I'm going to dress up like Henry VIII. Wasn't that a cool picture?
You're going to dress up as what?
Henry VIII.
Oh.
And his six wives. Moving on. The next thing about the Spirit's nudges is that they prompt us to pay attention. They prompt us to become and to remain aware of what is going on, both around us and inside of us. Yep. You see, it's real easy to slip into autopilot, and then we miss a lot. Yeah. It's been real easy to do that lately, hasn't it? I mean, there's been so much tumult out there. And I know we all experience part of this temptation to just try to block it all out, to retreat inside of ourselves. But be careful. In doing so, we might block out all the good stuff too by accident. We might block out the Spirit who is prompting, prodding, and even provoking us to see things, to hear things, to notice things about ourselves, and to be transformed.
Yes.
Which, by the way, happens most often in a time of discomfort. So let's see if we can put up with the discomfort a little bit so that we can experience the nudges and be able to see them. Jesus told his disciples this. He told them that they knew how to read the sky to know what the weather would be in the morning. And likewise, they needed to learn how to read the times and understand what God was up to in their time. They needed to sense which way the wind of the Spirit was blowing and to join God in what God was doing. And that meant, of course, that they needed to develop the spiritual maturity and the capacity to understand, just like we do, what's going on with both the externals, what's happening out there, and the internals, what's happening in here.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to talk about specific ways that the Spirit nudges in just a minute or two, using precisely those two categories, the externals and the internal nudges.
Right. And so the last thing we want you to keep in mind as we move through into some of those external and internal ways that God nudges is that the Spirit's nudges come in a wide variety of ways. First, we kind of categorize some of these ways. There's so many ways that we can't talk about all of them, but we've grouped them together, as Tony said, into some of the ways that the Spirit nudges us from outside and also from inside. So we're going to start by looking at some ways the Spirit nudges us from outside ourselves. The first two of these external ways are actually quite familiar and expected. In fact, the early church said that God reveals himself to us through two books. First is the canon, the book of Scripture. As we said earlier, we study the Scriptures in order to learn about God, and that's a very good thing. Yet the Spirit also reveals who God is by nudging us through the Scriptures. And the Spirit does this in a number of ways. Like first, as we're reading them, you know how you're reading and then sometimes a word or an image just jumps out at us. It just captures our attention. It invites us to stop right there and ask the Spirit to show us why there's so much weight in this word. I remember a time when that happened to me when I was a new Christian. A friend's daughter had been hospitalized. I think, a Christian for about a year and a half at this point. And a friend's daughter had been hospitalized and was dying. As I was praying about it, I sat down and just opened my Bible, just opened it. And my sight landed on Psalm 118, 17, which says, "I will not die, but live to tell what the Lord has done." And in that moment, it was in a very early experience of this quickening of the Spirit. I just knew that that verse was not only generally true, it was true for her. So I prayed and I trusted. I just knew she was going to be okay. And a few days later, her condition began to improve and she's still alive today. I learned personally that God still heals today through that experience of the Spirit nudging through the words and the reading of Scripture. The Spirit also nudges as we're hearing the Scriptures taught. You have no idea how many times people thank Tony and me for something that we said in our sermons, which we actually never said. It's become like a joke. We didn't actually say those things. But that's what the Spirit was doing, translation and nudging that person, you know, to hear what the Spirit was wanting them to hear. And the Spirit also nudges when we're, as Tony said, simply living our lives. When you're talking with someone, for example, and they may be going through a difficult time, and suddenly there is the perfect Scripture that just pops into your mind. That's coming from the Spirit. And we can trust those things to offer them and say, "Hey, this just came to mind, and I think it's for you." The Spirit nudges us through the book of the Scriptures, through the book of the Bible, but also nudges us through the book of creation. Romans 1:20 tells us, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." Okay, so God reveals himself through what he's created. This happens in a general way for everyone. So the infinite expanse of space reveals God's infinite being and can make us feel very, very tiny. It allows us to have a sense of our own finiteness. The seasons and the tides reveal God's faithfulness. Well, there are times when the Spirit speaks also very personally to us through specific aspects of creation. Like a pet who just decides to jump up and sit in your lap at just the moment when you're feeling sad or alone. You know, that may be the Spirit revealing that God's there with you. Or how you know, we're watching a beautiful sunset that's somehow more than a sunset. And your heart just breaks open and you feel the love of God. Or maybe it's a bird that's more than a bird. That's happened in my life a lot. God uses birds in my life. I remember a time when, and in other people's lives as well, I remember being with a friend in her home years ago when a bird started flying into the window, this big picture window, over and over and over again. And she became very upset. And she started telling me that the bird had been doing that for days. She got up out of her chair and she's just at the window trying to get the bird to stop. She'd been trying to get it to stop doing that for days because she knew it was going to hurt itself, but it wouldn't stop doing it. So I'm watching this. And so I asked her, do you think God might be trying to say something to you through that bird? She stopped and it was like this light bulb came on. And she shared how, yep, she felt like she was just banging her head against a wall in a particular situation in her life. And so we started talking about it and we prayed about it. And the following week she called to tell me the bird had not returned since that day when we prayed. Never came back. It sounds woo-woo. It happens. This is kind of like life of the spirit. Right? God has also another aspect of this book of creation. God has created time as a part of creation. So although coincidences do happen, which have no spiritual significance at all, there are often times when the spirit nudges us through the timing of things, through coincidences, through synchronicity, like a time maybe when you're wondering about something. And someone else just happens to mention that in offhand conversation. And then somebody else just happens to send you an article about that very thing. You know, when you start noticing patterns and themes, it may be more than disconnected events. It may actually be the spirit nudging you to pay attention. Personally, I've adopted a rule of three. If something comes to my attention in unconnected ways, three times, I'll engage it and I'll pray and begin to really pay attention to see whether the spirit's inviting me in some way.
I can't tell you how many times I've had experience where friends of mine on Facebook have posted the same verse on the same day, a verse I hadn't encountered in years. Yeah. And suddenly, and my rule there too is if I see three of that verse showing up on the same day for my friends, I pay attention. I wonder if God has it.
And things like that are like God winking at us, saying, hey, I'm here. That's not just you.
Talk through Facebook. Well, Joanne says that God uses creation. There's also the created, created things that people create that the Spirit also uses to nudge us, maybe even like Facebook and signs and books and art. And so, I mean, this is why we do the Hosanna to Movie series. We've been doing this for 20 years because the Spirit nudges so often through these visual stories that are created by these gifted artists. Yeah. There's another story. I walked for several days in the Camino several years ago with a friend who was in pain, and she wanted to know if God wanted her to keep walking or to go home. And she asked me that. People often assume that because I'm a pastor, I automatically know what God thinks about everything. I didn't have an answer for her. So she prayed for a sign from God. And this was hilarious. We got to the next town, and the first thing that we saw was a big sign actually blocking our path, pointing us to turn with big letters that said, keep going. Seriously. So Katrine got her sign, and she kept on going.
That just happened to me last week, Tony. I got a car that's new to me last June. Well, my old inspection on the car that I had for like 20 years or forever was in January. I wasn't even thinking about inspection. Well, it's almost the end of June. Last week, I was just driving somewhere and I looked over on the side of the road and here was a small white sign, black letters. And what it said is your inspection current. And all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh. Inspection. So I looked at the back of the sticker in the window. Yep, It's due in June. I called last week, and just yesterday, I was able to get my car in and get the inspection complete. But I have never seen a sign like that before, never since. And I just happened to see that sign on the side of the road.
So once in a while, the Spirit says, here's your sign. Now, we don't always, it isn't always that way. It's not always literal signs telling us what to do. But I love that the Spirit has a sense of humor and once in a while uses that. Yep. By the way, it wasn't wrong that Katrine asked me if I knew what she should do. And it wasn't because she called me her Camino priest. It wasn't because of that. It was because the Spirit does also nudge us through each other, through community. We are one with the Spirit, but because it's the same Spirit, we are one with each other. Mm-hmm. So the Spirit speaks to us through each other. Now, have you ever had anybody just come up to you and say, I think God wants me to tell you this? I have. I've had it happen from some of you, and why it comes from you, I pay attention. And I've done the same thing myself on occasion, although with quite a bit of fear and trembling. I don't say that very easily. And that's because, as in all things, hearing the nudges of the Spirit requires, it's a delicate balancing act.
It is.
And we've got to check and discern and be careful about it. The individual should not be overridden by the community, because an unhealthy spiritual community will not always honor the nudge of the Spirit of an individual.
Right.
But the community should not also be overridden by the individual, because all of us need help outside of ourselves to notice and discern and interpret what the Spirit is doing within us.
Yeah. So, okay, those are some of the ways that the Spirit nudges us externally. But as Tony just said, we need to be also noticing and discerning what the Spirit's doing within us. So let's look at some of the ways that those nudges of the Spirit come internally. As we do, we want to remember that we are whole beings and our parts are not easily separated. But it's easiest to talk about these internal nudges by identifying them with certain aspects of our being. So that's what we're going to do. But just recognize that there's overlap in these, okay? First, internally, the Spirit nudges us through our head, all right, through our thoughts. Although we often miss this one, because we mistake all those brilliant ideas or insights that are running through our heads as our own.
Not me.
Sometimes they are, especially if you're Tony Blair. But very often, we know full well we never thought that before. It was just a brand new thought. And, you know, if it's a good one, it's probably God. No. And then, as Tony said, as we become students of ourselves, it will become more and more clear to us which thoughts are ours and which thoughts are not, which ones might be coming from God. So the Spirit nudges us in our thoughts. The Spirit also nudges with words, sometimes just one or two words, sometimes a sentence or two. Direct words like this do happen occasionally. When they do happen, they're usually accompanied by a sense of surprise or some kind of deep resonance. When I was in my early 30s, I was in a phone conversation with a former pastor about a question that I had about the book of Romans. The answer did not come from him. The answer to my question actually came from within myself. There was just one utterly surprising sentence that I heard within myself. It was in my mind, but it was almost like it was resonating through my whole self. And the sentence was this: because I am, you are. I knew it was God speaking to me. And you know what? I've been living into the meaning of that sentence every moment of my life since then. So the Spirit nudges us in our thoughts. The Spirit nudges us sometimes with words. The Spirit also nudges us by bringing memories, you know, of the past to mind. Sometimes that happens to invite us to receive some healing, maybe. Or perhaps to offer forgiveness for something that someone has done that we're only now beginning maybe to understand or to be able to release. Sometimes memories come to allow God to show us more about how that experience fits into the bigger story of grace and redemption that we're seeing him outworking in our lives. Sometimes the Spirit surfaces a memory so that we can take some action in the present. Maybe to right a wrong. Maybe, for example, to write a letter of gratitude to someone. So the Spirit nudges through our minds. All right, they come through thoughts, memories, or even words, but they're not limited to thoughts, memories, or words. The Spirit's nudges through our minds can also come wordlessly, especially through pictures in our imagination. You might have had a vision before. You might have actually, it's like you see yourself within your imagination, or you see someone else doing something or saying something or something happening. Here's a really weird one I just remembered in this moment. You know how they, at Stauffer's of Kissel Hill, local grocery store, we're going back decades, but they used to do, I shopped there, and they used to do drawings for all kinds of things. This one time they were giving away a side of pork. Well, I just always put my name on a slip and put it in the box. It didn't matter what they were giving away because I figured I'm not going to win it anyway. But as I put this slip into the box, I saw in my imagination a hand pulling mine out. I thought that was weird. The next week, I got a phone call that I'd won a side of pork. That's okay. It's the nudges. It's just kind of fun.
Did you pig out on it?
What'd you say?
Did you pig out on it?
We did. We did for quite a long time, and gave quite a bit of it away too. But I digress, sort of. So you might actually see something in your imagination that's actually the Spirit revealing something to you. Or you may have a dream, a nighttime dream, in which you're given direction or wisdom for a situation in your life. And of course, as we'll keep saying this, as with all of these nudges, discernment is needed. Yet it is important that we do not rule out certain ways that the Spirit might nudge us simply because they seem weird or woo-woo to us, Tony. The scriptures are full of the Spirit nudging God's people in all of these ways and more. So who are we to limit what the Spirit might do?
Indeed, the Spirit nudges us through our head, but also then sometimes through our heart, through our emotions and our desires and our affections. Now, none of these are perfect guides for us, just like our head isn't. Our hearts have been broken and our desires get corrupted and our feelings get confused. But the Spirit is within us, healing our heart, restoring our capacity to discern the Spirit's nudges there. So let's trust that our hearts too can be used by the Spirit to help us notice what God is doing and saying. Now, what does that look like? Well, here's one example. It might sometimes feel a strong desire for something good, maybe something that sort of feels like God. And maybe it's a desire to stop everything and just worship on the spot, or to reach out to someone and bless them, or to visit someplace we've never even been.
Right.
And then that unexpected desire might then incite within us a holy curiosity, a wondering about why we're being drawn to that and why we're being drawn right now.
Yeah.
What's going on? And so we might ask God if there's something in this wanting and in this wandering that we should pay attention to. And then having asked, we ought to listen. To see what God would have to say, and we'll see if there's any other nudges from other directions that might confirm for us that there's something for us to notice here, something for us to do or to learn or to say as a result. So does that make sense? I'll give you one example from my life. That experience I alluded to earlier of going to Spain in 2017 began like that. I saw a movie about the Camino de Santiago, and I found myself inexplicably wanting to do it. It was a desire I couldn't shake even after a number of years. And I grew curious about this strangeness. I mean, it was very much out of character for me. But the Spirit kept nudging me to take a risk and go. And of course, when I finally did, it became a very powerful spiritual experience, and I came home different.
Yeah. So the Spirit nudges us through our heads. The Spirit nudges us through our hearts, through our emotions and feelings. The Spirit also nudges us through our gut, our intuition, our deep knowing. Scripture speaks about this, like in the book of Job, when God finally answered Job. One of the things that God asks is, who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? See, who has put wisdom in the inward parts? And the answer is, I have. God has those inward parts, the depth of us. See, God's given each one of us an ability to know things deep down in our knower, which we may not be able to explain in words, and which may sometimes not be based in reason at all, but are true nonetheless. Some of the words that are most used of this capacity within us are our intuition or gut knowing. Another good old-fashioned term is the inner witness of the Spirit. And we've all have had an experience where something, for example, something where we planned and we were out, you know, putting our plan into motion, and everything seems fine on the surface, but there's a wordless red flag waving in our gut. Sometimes, you know, that's just the normal anxiety of putting a plan in motion, and you just kind of push through. But other times, there's something wanting to stop us that we would not push through. And sometimes that's the Spirit nudging us. Something's not right here. You need to stop and take a look. As Christians, especially in the 20th, 21st century, we are often taught to override our guts. That we're told that only what can be explained or objectively proven can be trusted. And yet both Scripture and our own experience teach us that there are times when God just wants us to go with our guts, because that's where he's nudging us.
One last way. The Spirit also nudges us through our bodies. Mm-hmm. Yes, those same bodies sometimes seem to get in the way of the life of the Spirit. God made our bodies. God inhabited a human body in Jesus. The Spirit inhabits ours as well. Mm-hmm. And I love how this medieval poet priest named Simeon the New Theologian put it. It says, we awaken in Christ's body as Christ awakens in our bodies.
Yeah.
He's right. Indeed, every morning, that's what happens. So it shouldn't surprise us then that the Spirit uses our bodies. The Spirit particularly uses the five senses to nudge us, which makes sense, so to speak.
Yes.
Using the senses to make sense. Our senses are how we experience the world. So our senses can also be then how we can experience the Spirit. So Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. There's your ears. And the psalmist invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good, and come and see what God has done. And Paul describes Christ as fragrant, a fragrant offering. So smell gets involved too. And Jesus invites Thomas to reach out and touch him so that he would know that the resurrection was for real. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit showed up, what happened? The senses were very much involved. The disciples saw and probably felt and maybe even smelled those tongues of fire on their heads. They heard that mighty rushing wind. It was their senses that told them, that confirmed for them that God was doing something really remarkable on that day.
Yes. Wow. Well, that's a lot. There's so much more we could say. And at some point, we'd love to hear your experiences as well. But as we draw this particular message to a close, we want to leave you with an invitation. Your invitation this week is to pay attention to the Spirit's nudges, both externally and internally. Just notice. Maybe write them down at the end of each day. And you know what? If you will do this regularly and then write them down, it can really help you to notice patterns. This is one of the ways of being a student of the way that God created you to know and to sense his presence, to know the Spirit's nudges. So we invite you, pay attention to the Spirit's nudges this week, maybe write them down, and throughout this week and the weeks to come, we would invite you to let this be your prayer. Holy Spirit, lead and guide me. I am listening. Sometimes a simple prayer like that is all it takes to really open our eyes and our ears to sense the Spirit's nudges.
Blessings on you as you listen this week. Thanks.
Amen.